John chapter 2 verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, and in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. The power is found in God's word and instructions on righteousness and holiness and how we ought to live and behave and act and love one another as believers. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified and the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My little children. My little children. John speaking to this church. There was no name given to this church, but most expositors believe John planted this church and on return, on a visit, came back and found some disarray, found a lot of questions. And one of the questions was, and we answered it in chapter 1, they were teaching that once you got saved, either sinning was okay and wasn't no problem with sinning because maybe God's grace covered your sins and you could sin freely. John's not saying that. John's not saying that. And we know that the Bible is not teaching it. So when John calls the church, he says, my little children, it's probably because John was aged. John was an old man by now. Okay. And they were beneath him in age, probably well beneath him in experience, and very dear to him. Let me say that again. Very dear to him. The people of God ought to be very dear to the pastor.
Amen.
Of the church. Okay? It ought not be just commodities, just people who raise money and different things and pay his bills. They ought to be dear to him.
Amen.
Okay? And he ought to have a connection, because the people of God and the pastor of the church ought to share a bond. They ought to share a bond because there's so many similarities between the pastor and the congregation. I'm talking about a saved congregation, okay? Folks that both love the gospel, both that understand the gospel. It ought to mean something. It ought to mean something. So now we see him saying, my little children, let's look at verse 1 and let's see if you guys can pull some truths out of it. I found about 7. If you guys can find 7 in verse 1. In verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen?
Amen.
He's talking about little children. John used the word little children in every chapter in John's gospel. Every chapter he called them little children. Little children. What does he keep saying that? Because they were dear to him. And he wanted them to learn and to love and to love God. And one of the ways that you love God is when you learn about him. You know, a lot of people don't learn about God. They don't learn about God. And if you don't learn about God, how do you love him? How do you love anybody if you don't learn about him? You got to get to know him. You got to have that intimacy with him. And you spend time with him. And then you get to know him. Jesus and John was so close to Jesus. Jesus wrote many times. And all the gospels, I believe, all the gospels talk about this one verse in the Bible. Mark 10 and 14, and Jesus was speaking to all the people, and the parents and the caregivers wanted to bring their children to Jesus. And they most likely was young children like the ones we have here. And they probably was like that, and they probably wouldn't have understood what Jesus was teaching them. But what did they want Jesus to do? And one of the things that we do in the church, we bless children. They wanted Jesus to bless the children. They wanted Jesus to put his hands on the children, lay hands on the children, and just let them know that he loved them. The disciples didn't want to disturb Jesus. They didn't want to bring the children to Jesus. And Jesus said this in Mark 10, 14. He says, after he saw what was going on, maybe the commotion because the parents wanted to bring the children. And he said, he was much displeased and said unto them, talking to the disciples, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? What's he mean by of such is the kingdom of God? What are some of the similarities that we must have as children of God that children have? Okay? Childlike faith. And like the children we have here, guess what? They wouldn't be here if we didn't bring them. Okay? And all of us in here have raised kids and we have seen kids grow. And guess what? A young child cannot do, can't fend for themselves. There's nothing these children can do. They would starve to death if you left them alone. They would starve to death if you left them alone. And what Jesus said about the kingdom, you have to depend on me for everything. That's a hard lesson. That's a hard lesson. When Jesus taught it in John 6, they turned and walked away. When Jesus said, look, I need to be everything to you, they knew what that meant. And the Bible said they turned and walked away. Paul had the same problem in the Galatian church because so much was going on in the church of Galatia. Remember, the church of Galatia was known for the people trying to get the Christians to turn back and go back to Judaism. Okay? And we learned today when we study in Samuel, when you become a man of God, a woman of God, guess what the world going to do? Challenge you, confront you, call you out. Put you down, question your sincerity, question your faith, question your love, question why you would want to do it. They're going to do everything they can to keep you from getting to the kingdom. Okay? Paul had this to say about your little children, and he called them little children in Galatians because they were a young church. And he says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He said that to the people of Galatia because they were struggling with Judaism. They were struggling with going back or staying. And the world will constantly call you out. So when he says little children, don't be offended by it, because all of us in here should have that childlike faith. And childlike faith means you're learning, you're growing, and you have a desire for the things of God. I don't look at it as a put down. You have seasoned people of God trying to teach you something. But the letter was written to these young people, and that was just the beginning. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you. Okay? He's sort of making it personal. He's writing these things to this church, which he planted. He probably was familiar with everything that was going on. Everything that was going on. And he most likely received a letter to him saying, hey, look, there's a lot of stuff going on in the church. Can you address some of this? Because it's causing us a lot of problems. Okay? And what causes problems in the church? Sin. Amen. Sin is the number one cause of problems in the church. And that sin can come take form in many ways. It don't have to be, you know, fighting in the church or arguing in the church. It can just be different. People believe different things. Okay? And there would be somebody sinning openly in the church causing problems. And it's happening more and more as we live in this crazy upside down world we live in. And we're opening the doors to every sin known to man, and nobody wants to confront it. Nobody wants to challenge it. Nobody wants to say anything. And I don't know if we're helping people or not. I think if a sinner comes into the church, they ought to hear the word of God. They ought to hear the word of God. Okay. And when we water it down because we don't want the sinner to be offended, well, I beg to differ, because when I walked in the church, I'm glad the pastor didn't water it down. Okay, call me out. Call me I don't even want to repeat it. He didn't say it from the pulpit like that, but that's how I took it. Okay? Because he's like, what kind of man are you? And I was like, You don't want to know, preacher. Okay. You don't want to know, preacher. You know? And but he called me out. And y'all know I'll be listening to songs and I heard this song this weekend. I have to share these songs with you guys. And the guy, the old preacher, was seeing a young man coming to the church, and the young man was just going through. He was just going through all kind of stuff going on in his life, ups and downs. And the preacher said, "Young man, you know what healed me?" He said, "I turned to rock and roll." And the young man looked at him and said, he looked at him strange. He said, "No." He said, "I put my foot on the rock and my name on the roll." I put my foot on the rock and my name on the roll. And that was rock and roll to him. And I'm like, okay. But that's what the world needs, and a lot of our young people need to get on that firm foundation. That firm foundation, because the world is shifting every day, something new, every day something different going on. And the fact that we saved means we're on the rock. Amen. Okay? We on the rock. I think about the parable Jesus taught, and about the two houses. One was built on what? One was built on sand, and one was built on a rock. Mm-hmm. And the storm came. Same storm. Same neighborhood, okay? One house stood, one house was destroyed, okay? And we want to make sure we're on the rock. And I think this is what John's heart was to my little children. These things I write unto you, and this is coming from the apostle. Now y'all know. I just look at that verse in Revelation 1:9, where John was on the island of Patmos for what? For preaching the word of God. It cost him something. So imagine that kind of person coming to our church. We have we had a men's day or a women's day, and that kind of person came in and was speaking to us from the depths of his experience with suffering and persecution with God, and he's giving us that advice, and we would be all ears. Okay, we would be all ears. We would probably hang on every word. But he says something that I thought was profound. And we went over some of this stuff. He says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not." How about that? Think about how we would talk to our children when they do something crazy. You know, we know they're going to sin again. We're going to know they're going to do crazy stuff. All the way, I mean, they can be 50 years old. Some of us got 40, 50-year-old kids. They still doing what? Some crazy stuff. Why? Because we still in this flesh. We're not leaving this flesh until we get to heaven. So we still going to constantly be stepping in stuff and doing stuff and going astray. But John is saying, he says, "I write unto you this letter that you sin not." He's not giving them permission to sin. He's not saying that you ought to sin. He's not okaying their sin. He's saying, we shouldn't sin. But watch what he says. "But if any man sin," how about that? Let me stop right there, because I got a lot of comments there. Here's what John is saying, and I think it comes from the gospel, from the Psalms 4:4. Look at Psalms 4:4. You don't have to turn there, but write it down, because I think it's one verse you ought to have. I say you ought to have these in your arsenals. Okay, this is one you ought to have in your arsenal, because you're gonna run into people who sin it, and they don't have no understanding of it, because they're not saved and God has not opened their hearts up. But sometimes Scripture will open their hearts up. But here's a psalm where the psalmist is writing. He says, "Stand in awe," Psalms 4:4. "Stand in awe, and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still." That's why that. I heard you, but what do you mean? He says, what the psalmist is saying in awe, he said, be afraid. Be afraid. When you find yourself in sinful ways, sinful situations, he says, be afraid. Stand in awe. You ever seen something that you just know you don't need to go near? Okay? Okay, this is an area I don't need to go into. So some of us have those areas in our lives. So the writer's saying, be afraid, if not of me, yet of God who have engaged in our cause. Don't get caught up in sin. And if you do, okay? And if you do, and you find yourself in a place of sin, a place where you don't need to be, watch what he says. He says, commune with your own heart upon your bed. Take that thing personally. Take that thing personally, and it's upon your bed, as we was talking about this morning, getting by yourself with God. Get alone with God. You know, some things you don't have to tell everybody. Some things you know you're dealing with, you can get by yourself in a quiet place and say, you know what, God, deal, help me with this thing. Help me with this thing, okay? Help me with this area of my life where I'm struggling with, okay? And that's really what that verse is saying. Standing on, sin not, don't sin. Be afraid of it. And if you can't deal with it, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. How about that? And be still. Be still. Don't act on it. Don't act on it. Get your mind together before you leave the room. Get your mind together. Some people say, having a made-up mind. Because like I said, we talked about temptation is always flying around us. Always flying around us. Temptation is all around us all the time. But the problem is when we let them build a nest and start making a home in our minds. Paul writes the same thing. He says, be angry and sin not. We've heard that over the years. Be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with being angry, okay? But the problem comes when what we're angry at, okay, we take our emotions out on what we're angry at or the person that we're angry at, and we start acting on that thing. Because Paul said, nothing wrong with being angry. We ought to be angry at sin. We ought to be angry at what's going on in our communities when we see all this crime, all these murders. I mean, when we see here about 14 people getting shot outside a funeral, I heard somebody say, the mafia, even in its heyday, the mafia wouldn't shoot up a funeral. Certain things was off limits. And I've talked to criminals for years. Years I've talked to criminals. And they say, mothers, children, off limits. Off limits, that's an unwritten law of the streets, okay? But now we're hearing about babies in carriages and babies in strollers getting shot. We ought to be angry. Okay? But we ought not be angry enough where we take matters in our own hands. Okay? Vengeance is mine, say the Lord, okay? Vengeance is mine, say the Lord, but we ought to be angry at it. We ought not be like, oh, they'll be all right. They ain't going to be all right. Let me tell you something, they ain't going to be all right. Amen. If somebody shot my baby, my grandbaby, you ain't going to be all right. Listen. We had a lady at church sitting there I went to. I'm glad she's back there. Her son got killed on a motorcycle. And it took him a long time. He lived for about 3-4 months before he died. And she said something to the pastor at the church at that time. And she said, listen, I need to talk to you. I'm still struggling with that. He said, oh, get over that. That's getting over that. That happened months ago. He said that in my presence, and I was done. I was like, hey, sir, it's time to look for another church. Okay? Because, see, every time I would think about a motorcycle, if something happened to someone I love that got killed on a motorcycle, guess what would happen to me every time a motorcycle pulled up next to me in the car? Think about that, Sylvia. We already do that all the time. We watch the news and somebody get killed, a kid get killed, a youth get killed. I still remember we got the call when our nephew got killed. So you know what I'm talking about. I still remember Cindy hollering, screaming downstairs. I knew something was wrong. We had just watched it on the news. We was in the bed, watched the 11 o'clock news. Somebody got killed on the south side. 10 minutes later, somebody called our house and said, Anthony got killed. That was him. See? So there's nothing wrong with being angry at sin. Don't let nobody tell you, you're a Christian, you shouldn't get mad. Oh, yes, you should.
Amen.
Okay. Y'all know how I feel about the abortion clinic. Now, I'm not going to burn them down. I ride by them, no, on the south side, the one in Warren. I ain't going to sit there and torture them. Okay? So that's what he's saying. Paul's saying, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What's he talking about? You know what? Let that thing just soak and just simmer. You get mad at somebody, and it just soak. Okay? And then once it soak, it don't take much to... Set that thing off. Let it soak. Get hot fast. You know, Krina, I can hear these stories. She was like, Dad, I'm doing the charcoal, but it ain't getting hot real fast. I said, Krina, you gotta let the charcoal lighter fluid soak into the charcoals. She wasn't letting it soak. And then when she let it soak, I come home, I said, how'd it do? She had burned up everything. So that soaking part, you know, and that's what he's saying. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, because you wake up matter. And you wake up matter, and you go 2 days, you go a week, you go a month. Guess what? Now you can't work. You can't even work your way out of that. See? And you back yourself in a corner. Now I become pride, you know? Not become pride. Okay. So Paul's saying, he's saying, be angry and sin not. Make up fast. Make up fast. Learn to forgive people fast. We've learned that in the prison because we have so many moments, because we're dealing with all these emotions out there. We got inmates, we got staff, and all this stuff. And we gotta make up fast. You gotta make up fast. Okay, because you still got to make your money. You still got to work out there. So, you know, I tell people all the time, we were saying it this morning. It's interesting how some things we say on Sunday school just come right into the Sunday school service. But what do we say? Well, I think Sylvia was saying, this is thick skin business.
Amen.
This is thick skin business. This ain't for thin skin folk, okay? As a matter of fact, thin skin folks, I don't do well with them kind of folks, okay? Because I say stuff. Okay, I just don't, you know, I just don't. And listen, we ought not sin. Why? Because we've come into a relationship with God. Okay, we ought not sin, but we're gonna sin. But we ought not sin. And then when we do, what we need to do? Deal with that thing immediately. Deal with it as fast as we can. This is why it's important that we be around people that are gonna call us out and confront us. Because if you be around a bunch of yes men, they're not going to confront you. They're going to challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you stay in God's word will call you out.
Amen.
A lot of folks, you know, they stay in sin a long time. I know they ain't reading their Bibles. Okay? Here's a story. Let me read it. I don't know how much of it I need to read, but I want to read it because, this is fascinating how Jesus addressed this man after he came into contact with Jesus. See, once we come into contact with Jesus, There's a responsibility that Jesus requires of us. I'm in John chapter 5. And y'all know the story. There was a man laying at the pool of Bethesda. Now watch this. I'm gonna pick it up at verse number 5. And verse number 14 is where I believe there's a response. Our responsibility is the same as this man's. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been a long time in that case. He said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That was Jesus asked him a question. "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now watch this man. I think his sin was lying, because he couldn't give Jesus a straight answer. All Jesus asked, "One of you want to be made whole?" Watch his answer now. And the unclean man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another step it down before me." He didn't ask him all that. What did he ask him? "Did you want to be made whole?" Okay? He didn't ask him all. He didn't ask for a history lesson. And Jesus said unto him, "Listen, you, I can't get a straight answer out of you, but I'm going to bless you anyway." Okay? Here we go. "I'm going to bless you in your mess." And Jesus said unto him, "Rise and take up thy bed." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now here come them folks. Okay. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is lawful for thee to carry the bed." They weren't allowed to carry the bed on the last Sabbath day. He wasn't allowed to spit on the Sabbath day, but they said you made mud. Okay. And he answered them. Watch this now. He gave them a straight answer. "He that made me whole." He didn't want to take this responsibility, maybe. "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." And then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk on the Sabbath?" Okay, that's what they're saying. And he said, and he that was healed was not who it was. Didn't know who he was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. He didn't want nobody to see him. He came there for one reason, to bless this man that had been here 38 years. How many of y'all know some folks been in their mess for 38 years?
Amen.
We got an older crowd in here. How many of y'all, Mary, how many of y'all know some folks for 38 years they've been in the mess? Still in it. And if God don't deliver them, they're going to die and go to hell in it. Okay?
Amen.
Now watch what Jesus says. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be for him. Okay? He in the place where he need to be. He's been blessed by God. God has worked a miracle in his life. God has supernaturally healed him. And you know what? He's going to the temple. I like that part about it. Okay? And said unto him, Jesus found in the temple, said unto him, watch this. Behold, thou art made whole. You've been blessed. You've been healed. You've been delivered. Watch what he says. Sin no more. Sin no. Jesus tell this man, sin no more. How could he tell him that? How could Jesus tell this man to sin no more? Okay, let me tell you how. Because he's given him the power. He's given him the power to live a life where he can sin no more. Now, again, not live in perfection, but not get caught up in a lifestyle of sin. Okay? We gonna sin. But we ought not be in sin weeks and months and become known by that particular sin. Okay? Now watch Jesus. Y'all think he was playing? See, we got this Jesus, this soft Jesus that they pushing today. I think this is why Jesus, God is striking the church. He's striking all these churches that got the soft Jesus. And I think he just pruning it all the way down. Gonna rise up some warriors, because I think in the next 10, 15 years, if you're going to have a church, you're going to have to be something different, okay? Because, you know, it's hard, you know, it's going to be hard to sell miracles. It's going to be hard for a preacher to say, well, you know, I got the gift of healing when 1.9 million people done died of COVID, okay? When you had 20, 30 of your members in the church die of COVID, you say you got the gift of healing. It's going to be a hard sell, okay? That's going to be a hard sell. You know, I seen a meme on social media saying they had a preacher sitting on the side of the street talking about, I'm waiting for COVID to be over so I can start doing miracles again.
Wow.
I'm like, there's so much truth in that. Okay? See, the real miracles is happening when people are getting saved, okay? See, when people are getting saved. Because whether it's COVID, whether it's heart disease, whether it's diabetes, whether it's cancer, whether it's a massive heart attack, aneurysm, we all getting up out of here. I mean, we all getting up out of here. It's a point in another man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. So we not dying ain't the problem. Okay? Dying ain't the problem. Okay? Dying unsaved is the problem. See, nobody want to talk about that. They just want to talk about, you know, so many people die. No, so many people dying unsaved. Let's keep it real, church. Okay. So afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold. Pay attention. He puts a behold on it. I mean, listen to me and don't miss this. Thou art made whole. Okay. You got a clean slate. You got a clean body. You got clean legs. No more atrophy. No more disease. You strong now. Sin no more. Okay. Why? Lest a worse thing come unto thee. That's Jesus talking. What could be worse? That had to be on the top. Wait a minute. He's been lying by the pool of Bethesda 38 years. Probably soiled and sewage, stanky, nasty. Now Jesus said something worse going to happen. That's deep. That's interesting to me. Jesus said, lest a worse thing come unto you. I think he's talking about hell. I really do. Said the same thing to the woman caught in adultery. Y'all know the story. She got caught in adultery. All the rock throwers, dropped them rocks one by one. And when she looked up and Jesus looked, there was a pile of rocks. There's a pile of rocks. Okay? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, same thing. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What's he mean? go no longer sinning. Sinning in a continual way, just sinning and acting a fool and just being reckless and living like there ain't no God. Just sinning, just purposely, just doing all kind of foolishness and being known as a fool, okay? Or being known as a prostitute, or being known as whatever the man laying at the bed of the pool of Bethesda was, whatever his sin was, is obviously whatever his sin was caused him to be in that condition, okay? And we know from Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is, okay? There ain't no unemployment line with Satan. Okay. He all his people are employed and they get a nice wage, okay? There ain't no layoffs, okay? Now think about this now. Think about this. What did Jesus come to do? See, we have to understand, what did he come to do? What was he born to do? When we look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, what was Jesus born to do? He came in this world to do really one thing. Okay? Okay, watch this. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. See? They didn't have what they call them thing where they can find out what your child is. You're going to be a boy or a girl. They didn't have a gender reveal party. You know, they didn't have a sonograms back then. You know, and she might not even been barely pregnant at this time. But Jesus, God already said, she shall bring forth a son, not a child, a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joshua, Savior. Watch this. For he shall save, this is what he came to do. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's the word of God. That's just the word of God. Okay? He didn't say he's going to come and do a whole lot of miracles and stuff, which he did. He didn't say he's going to come and heal a whole lot of people, which he did. And we know why he did that. He did all those miracles and healings and casting out demons to prove, to authenticate that he truly was the Son of God. He truly was who they said he was going to be in Matthew 1:21. So when we read our text, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, what happens when we sin? And we will sin, okay? What can we do? What can we do that the lost world can't do? How about that? What can we do? We can ask God to represent me in this. How about that? We have an advocate. I like that part. This is why I knew I was going to get past verse number 1 in this chapter. Because we have an advocate. You know, and an advocate is someone who stands for you. That's like your own personal lawyer. I got a sister-in-law who sells insurance. She sells Cindy insurance. We got insurance. We got all kind of insurance. I don't know how much insurance we got, but she tried to sell me some insurance last time she was here. $29 a month. So anytime I got in trouble, I could have a lawyer I could call. I forget what she called it. But it was only $29 a month. I got in trouble. I got a speeding ticket. I got pulled over. Whatever. I shot somebody. I got a lawyer. $29 a month. I got a lawyer, and he's going to represent me. And I think my answer to Vaughn was, and we laugh at Vaughn. I said, I got a lawyer. I got a good one, too. Okay. But think about this. How many know who Derek Chauvin is? Anybody remember that name? Anybody know Derek Chauvin? Nobody heard that name before? See? Listen, let me tell you who he is. Derek Chauvin, who pressed his knee onto Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, was previously charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. Okay? He was the guy who put his knee on the man's neck, George Floyd's neck, for almost 9 minutes. Guess what? 8 minutes, 42 seconds, something like that? Listen. If Derek Chauvin hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, him crucified, receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Guess what he got? Guess what he now has? Now he, the consequences of it is he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail, in prison. But guess what? When that life is over, okay? He got an advocate. He got, you know, if they do like they did Jeffrey Dahmer, and Jeffrey Dahmer did all that crazy stuff and got killed by somebody in prison, guess what? They said Jeffrey Dahmer received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what they say? Uh-huh. Okay. Then we get to heaven and you say, who's that? That's Jeffrey Dahmer. And we're right, I'm in the right place. Okay? But the moment you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Now what happens? Now we say it all the time. It has to mean something. We just can't say stuff. Psalms 90, I think, says, as far as the, y'all know it, as far as the east is from the west. Okay? Now, like I said, he in a better position. Now, probably than he was before he went in. Now, see, that's some different kind of stuff, ain't it? That's some real different kind of teaching. Think about OJ. I was going by this. I was looking at some of the most bizarre cases, and I couldn't get past OJ. And how many of us in here remember OJ? How many of us in here remember it took 252 days. He had the dream team. Remember he had the dream team? Johnny Cochran, them boys was bad, man. Them boys was bad. Johnny Cochran. Now, he had a double murder. Watch this. He had already been charged with spousal abuse. He had no alibi. No alibi. I'm just thinking about how the advocate would clear us. We would be sitting up in there like OJ. And it's guilty as all get out. And Jesus walk in and say, he forgiven. I got him. How about that? Here's OJ, no alibi. He had blood DNA on his socks. He had a wound on his hand that had the blood of Nicole Good, his wife, on his hand. He had shoe prints. He had just went to the store and bought a stiletto knife that they used in the attack. He had shoe prints all over where he was, where they seen that. Exact same shoes that he wore. Guess what? I remember this. I remember being in the unit. I was in the unit. They was getting ready to announce it. You could hear a pin drop. You could hear a pin drop in the housing unit. And them inmates were watching. They watching to see if OJ, what was going to happen. And when they said, we find OJ Simpson not guilty. I wish I was preaching back then. That was in 92. I wasn't preaching back then. They said, OJ is not guilty. There was an uproar in the building because it was all them brothers in there. You know, and they was like, we got one. And I was sitting there. It was hilarious. But think about all that OJ did. All that he did. And guess what? When I think about having an advocate, that's what I think of. That's what I think of. Because when we stand before the Lord, when we stand before God on Judgment Day, we're going to need an advocate. We're going to need an advocate. I don't care how much we done down here. We're going to need an advocate. He's going to say, what about my son? He's going to say, Mary. He said, Mary, what about my son? Okay. Like, I knew him. I love Jesus. I serve Jesus. I worship Jesus. I praise him. And that's what he want to hear. And Jesus will walk in and say, he one of mine. I'm representing him. How about that? He said, I'm representing him. Now watch where this text goes. Watch where this text goes. I'm not going to be long today. Watch where this text goes. He says, my little children, these things write unto you, write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, how about that? We will. Woman too. That's generic. We have an advocate. We have a lawyer with the Father. How about that? With the Father. Now, that's a whole nother subject. Okay? Because Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Okay? We have an advocate. That word we have. When I ask y'all about it, that word we have, I'm gonna close with what we have. But we have an advocate with the Father. Now, who is our advocate? Watch what he says. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay? All of our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, we talked about this morning all the different names of Jesus. Well, he got a lot of names. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of faithfulness. And he's Jesus Christ, the righteous. And when we get a righteous judge like that, think about this. Think about what we have. Think about what we have. And I'm going to close. Think about what we have. First of all, we have the scripture. We have the authority of the scripture. Now, I'm telling y'all, now folks laugh at Christianity, and we go, you know, I get it. I catch it. Because I talk a lot, okay? And I catch it, okay? But Timothy, Peter says this. I thought Jeremy was going to read it when he was reading Peter. But he says, we have, in 2 Peter 1 and 19, he said, we have a, here's our word, and we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed. How about that? As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Watch this. And until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart, that's Jesus Christ. Knowing this, watch this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay? For our prophecy, how did it come? Our prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, how does someone want to believe that? God has to give them the faith to believe that. You ain't going to just wake up believing that. You're going to say, you know what, God, give me the faith to believe that. Because you need the faith to believe that. Here's one of my great ones. I've been on it for the last few months. Here's what we have. Here's what we have. Here's what Paul says we have. And he says this in Ephesians 1:7. This is when we talk about our advocate and what that consists of. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's all that. See, that ought to just make you swell up. I was telling Jeremy when he asked me, how you doing? I said, I'm having one of them walk on water type of days. I feel like, you know, when I sit here and know that we have redemption, okay?
Amen.
That we have redemption. That's a game changer. That don't change the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk, and the way you treat people. God, we've been redeemed. We talk about redeemed how? By the blood of the Lamb. And with that, here's something else we have. Paul says in 1 John 5 and 13, we have eternal life. We have eternal life. That's some interesting stuff. We have eternal life. Meaning, you know what? Let's not put all our eggs in one basket. You know, we do so much preparing for this world down here. And let's make sure we ready for the next one.
Amen.
Let's make sure we put some stock into our eternal life. Amen. Like I say, you know, we losing people. And, you know, you don't have to talk long. We losing people. I already said he lost a brother this week to COVID in Louisiana. Can't go. You know what's important? We got to be like David. And David lost his son. Now remember, David lost his son. And David took the sackcloth, and he was in the ashes. And he mourned and mourned and mourned. And then word came to David, David, your son has died. David cleaned right up. Amen. David cleaned right up, took a shower on, put on his Sunday best. And they said, well, hey, what happened? He said, hey, nothing I can do now, but get ready to see him. Say that.
Amen.
I can see him again. Okay. So we want to make sure that our loved ones and our people that we love, you know, because we don't know who's going to get COVID next. We don't know who's going to die of a heart attack or a stroke, but we want to make sure. That's our due diligence, to talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about this redemption that we learn about. Talk to them about this eternal life that we learn about. Talk to them about this grace and peace that we have. They ought to see it. We talking about Samuel this morning, and Saul came down, and they looked at him. He was different. We ought to look different when we come to lead church. We ought to look different. We ought to have grace and peace all over us. Oh, mommy must have been in church. Mommy must have been in church. She got that glow. She got that look. Okay? Seriously.
Amen.
I'm serious. Paul writing into the Romans. I'm about to close. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. How do we got peace with God, Paul? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't finished. He said, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So Paul said, we got peace, we got grace, we got faith, all these things. We got an arsenal full of goodness, the goodness of God. That's why you hear me say all the time, when you start praying, I thank God for his goodness and his grace and his mercy and his love. That's just Top it off. Well, I'm done. Because I talk about Jesus Christ the righteous. Gotta talk about Jesus Christ the righteous. Because his righteousness saved us. And we can stand before God in righteous because of what Jesus did. What Jesus did. We need to pray for our world. It's crazy. The world going crazy. Y'all know it's going crazy. Okay? And God wouldn't be wrong. God would not be wrong if he shut the whole thing down. Y'all know he wouldn't be wrong. God would not be wrong if he shut the whole thing down. He wouldn't be wrong. We've killed over 100 babies. 100 million babies, rather. We promote homosexuality and same-sex marriage openly. Pedophiles roam the neighborhood. We gotta watch these kids like hawks. Mind-altering legal drugs are being made legal. Murder is almost legal. Seriously. When the last time you heard somebody being convicted of murdering somebody? Murder is almost legal in America. Kill the right color people. Okay? What's the scripture say? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Okay? Politicians, judges, businesses, pastors. Oh, yeah. Oh, not all of them, but corrupt. Corruption ruled the land. We talk about Samuel's two boys. That represents the world we live in. They love money. They love the lucre, the filthy lucre. So we compelled to pray for our nation. From the top to the bottom. From the top to the bottom. I was thinking about that, and I thought about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, praying for Nebuchadnezzar. How about that? How about that? Daniel's praying for Nebuchadnezzar. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he's praying for Nero. Praying, why? So we can keep our doors open. So we can keep spreading the gospel. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, they came to Jeremiah and they say, pray for our leaders. How about that? Jeremiah chapter 42. Prayed a passionate prayer. When we duty bound, pray for this country. And not only this country, we need to pray for the president of China. We need to pray for Putin. We need to pray for Boris Johnson in UK. We need to pray for all these leaders. Because they all shooting up missiles. They all shooting up missiles. They all testing rockets and stuff. And guess what? We're gonna see these babies grow up. Have and enjoy life. God made life for us to enjoy. Amen. He did. Precious Lord, I just pray right now for leaders, top to the bottom. Amen. Pray for President Trump. Pray for Boris Johnson. Pray for Putin. Pray for Kim Jong-un. Whatever. Pray for all the governors. Amen. Pray for all the senators. Pray for our governor in Ohio. Governor DeWine has to make these difficult decisions. Whether we wear masks, whether we don't, whether we open, whether we close. All this crazy stuff going on. Pray for congressmen. We pray for police chiefs. We pray for our police force. All this talk about defunding and who wants to be a police? Who would want to be a police? And what would we do without them? Pray for our children. Brought up in ways where drugs are accepted. Pray for our children who not able, not old enough to know what time to go to bed, but be telling them they're old enough to choose what gender they want to be. Unbelievable. And if God said, I'm going to shut it all down, he would still be just. He still would be a God of love. He still would be a God of mercy. He still would be a God of grace. And if this pandemic goes on another year, it's just his grace. It's just his grace.
Because if you are not woke in your spirit today to say, you know what? I need to get right with God. There's a problem. There's a problem. Father, I pray right now for our cities. I didn't even mention the mayors of some of these cities like Chicago and Atlanta, D.C. and Portland, where there's just people just dying and burning everything down. Father God, I just pray for them. I pray for the citizens, Father God, especially your older people who are right now living in fear, under house arrest, scared to even leave the house. Father, what's going on in our world, Father God? They're taking prayer out of everything. Taking prayer out of schools and taking prayer out of the courthouses, Father God. They said, we can do this world without you, God. We gonna let us do it on our own. Father God, we showed you it's impossible. We showed you it's impossible. And we just pray right now that you put your hand out, Father God, and you do what you need to do, Father God. But you still God. And besides you, there's none other. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for our refreshments and our dinner that we are having after church. We ask that you bless the hands that have prepared it. And let the goodness of the food remind us you're still a good God. And you still feed us and you support us and you take care of us, God. You're a good God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Everybody get tested coming in? You get tested. You get tested, Toya, coming in?
Yes.
All right.
I'm safe. I wear my mask at work.
You work around a lot of people too, huh?
I was gonna
yeah.
Say you got to.
Yeah, that's just personal responsibility. When we come in, we'll make sure that we get tested. Just, you know, because like I said, you don't know. I don't know how much truth it is to what happened at Neville's Temple or not. We just heard that they shut it down because they were just not compliant, you know. And they had a lot of members got sick. And I know that a lot of members got sick over at Union when they had one of the funeral for Pastor Donaldson's son and a couple of them died. You know, what was the one popular guy that died at Union? What was his name? And he was one of the, I forgot his name. He wasn't a reverend, but everybody knew him. I mean, everybody knew him. A lot of people got sick. There was a lot of sickness at that funeral for Pastor Donaldson's Moses. Yeah. Yeah, that was, you know, we got married at Union, so Cindy still know a lot of people at Union. So, you know, we want to make sure we're doing what we need to be doing. That's so if they come in here and they may come in here just check, you know, that's why we have everything like that. Maybe a little inconvenience, but you know, we still come to have church for as long as we have it. And if they do come in, they won't be able to say we didn't do what we were supposed to do. You know, church is being sanitized every Thursday, you know, and that's why I think Kiara wanted to have a party out here on Thursday, but it was just too much. We don't want a whole lot. We don't want to draw attention to what we're doing. So we have to just be careful. And that's the day we get it sanitized. I call it sanitized because y'all know y'all got the cleanest church in Ohio. Okay. Yeah, I used to say Youngstown, but you know, I come in here the other day, I'm like, I do the finger test. They don't know I do the finger test. I'll be touching stuff, you know. Okay, so you know, we've been blessed in a lot of ways, and you know, we small, but I you know, I don't have a problem with that, and we love one another. We keep track of each other. I didn't pray, but keep Rita in prayer, and she getting a lot of pain, and Blanche, because I don't think being in the house, I think that's just as damaging as being out. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I really do. You know, and they won't say that. They don't, you only hear, I mean, you can hear whatever you want to hear with the news, but that can't be healthy. You know, that just can't be healthy. You know,
it weakens your immune system.
Then when you go out, yes, ma'am. Yeah, we got the word on Jazz. You're a grandma, huh? Another grandma. What? Okay. How much did she weigh? Well, you know what? You need to have her get Karina's phone number, because that one we have is one. Get Karina's phone number. And Karina's really good. She's really good at talking to other people about that. So she because that could be scary, you know. Get Karina's number and have her call Karina, and Karina will call her and talk to her, you know. About having a so she fit in your hand?
She's small. She's very small.
She's gonna be an incubator. She at Boardman? Yeah, she at Boardman. That's where Karina was at. Karina had to stay up there for 6 months. Till Maya weighed, I think, 5 pounds or something. So we was up there every day. Now Bruno Brothers got great pizza across the street over there, you know. Okay. But yeah, see if she have to put people on with COVID, that's gonna be hard.
Visit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tried to go, and I was gonna leave work when she called. They actually rushed her to the hospital Friday because I was at work. She's having some abdominal pain.
Yeah.
They rushed her
to the
emergency.
Yeah. No, oh, that's off limits.
Yeah, that's why
he
was
looking for
her.
Yeah.
And her name
is
Miss Nyla.
Nyla. Okay. Well, let's close out and we'll talk with you in the fellowship hall. Amen. We'll talk. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Yeah. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. God's people said amen.
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 Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.